everybody, it's Mary Lou Tyler. We have just a whole bunch of great things to talk with you about today. But also there's this background noise that I hope you guys are going to bear with us. Really wanted to talk to Michael Greenberg today and know that the situation and the acoustics of this podcast may not be the best because there's people next door trying to drill off, or I don't know what you call it, jackhammer their third floor balcony in California here. But Michael Greenberg is the CEO of a company called Call for Content. Now, he is an expert in many things, but mostly today I want to talk to him about authority marketing and podcasting. And we're going to throw some wild ideas out to you guys about podcasting and what that means in terms of you, the sales executive, and whether or not you should consider podcasting as a part of your daily touches or multi-touch campaigns. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Michael to the podcast. Welcome, Michael.
Mary Lou, thanks for having me today. I think we're going to have a lot of fun, even with the noise.
Yes, the noise is going to drive me insane, but we'll get through it. So let's throw this kind of weird, wild notion out to people of, I'm a sales executive at a Fortune 1000 company or even a startup. And I'm thinking about different channels that I could use to woo people over to my way of thinking and to start to convince them why my product or service would be best for them. Is podcasting even on the radar for me, Michael?
It should be, but it isn't. Podcasting is this really weird thing that just sort of appeared out of nowhere. And then Right. Now every marketer has a little bit of budget set aside for, we need some podcasting content. We need some audio content. But I think the big thing, and my background's in B2B growth strategy, so I am neither a marketer nor a salesperson, which lets me take shots at both. Yep. The big thing that I think the marketers forget is that content is a chance to interact with a customer.
Right.
And I love podcasts for that, because the best podcasts are interview shows. So if you plan your show effectively, then it can be the show that all of your prospects and all of your major accounts want to be on. And it's the warmest cold outreach that I do. Say coming on and saying, hey, you know, I've got this podcast, you'd be a good fit for it. You want to come on the show and talk about your business, talk about what you're doing. I think last we checked, it was like 74-75% of all the outreach we do for inviting guests on turns into a yes. And so it's a real great door opener.
So if you're just people listening to Michael right now, what is our pop quiz? What is our conversion rate? What is the conversion rate that we're hoping for with our email engines? Well, if you guessed 7-9%, that was the old predictable revenue formula back in 2011 that we were hoping to get. Now it's kind of down into the 2-5%. And Michael just threw out 75%. Doesn't that sound so much better? So for every 100 people we reach out to invite them onto our podcast, even if it's 40 of the 100 that reply, yeah, that sounds interesting. Or, you know, what's it about? You've just started the conversation with 10x, 20x, 30x, what you could do with an email engine. So think about that. Let that sink in. And then Michael, question for you is, and I want to focus on what you just said with, you're inviting prospects, people with whom you want to do business with, and flattering them beyond, you know, what they could imagine by saying, hey, I want you to come on as the expert and talk about your business. Who would say no?
People who don't think it's worth their time.
Right.
So we see good success with this sort of strategy. In the small business space, it works exceedingly well up to middle market. And for enterprise, it's a multi-touch process. you know you're not going to make an enterprise sale off of one introduction.
Correct.
And so knowing that, generally when we get to those bigger deals where we've got, you know, four or five stakeholders at the table, maybe more, and we've got to really break in there, we'll be using the show either as our first entrance point in those deals, or we'll be using the show as a touch point to help move it forward and to help build relations with one of the stakeholders where we might be weaker.
And remember, we have, based on predictable prospecting, three different types of stakeholders that we can go after: decision makers, direct influencers, and even indirect influencers. Indirect influencers can cover industry-related folks. So it's not just people within the company, it's people who service the company in similar industries to ours, but different products and services that we can reach out to, as well as people within the company itself who will be warm referrals for us to get in the door. Now, this is getting in the door. It can also be used for continuing the conversation, which is drilling down into those stakeholders who, quote unquote, matter most in getting us further into the pipeline. So, Michael, I'm sure people are thinking, do a podcast? How do I do that? Or what do I talk about?
It's your job to talk all day. The best salespeople I know, that is the job. And if you're building a sales organization, that's your goal at the end of the day, is to keep your sales executives on the phone or in meetings with prospects and clients. And that's what your BDRs and your SDRs are for. That's what everyone else is for, is to get them to that point. Yeah. And so that being the case, you want to have a conversation. And as the host of the show, you get to direct that conversation, just like you're directing me, Mary Lou. Mm-hmm. So it puts you in a really powerful position. And we've, for getting in the door, especially on the big deals, we've seen success positioning the show and developing the format of the show to include some prospecting and qualification on air. So to put a little context around this, Call for Content, my company, we offer white label services to agency partners who then resell to their clients. Mm-hmm. And if I want to get in front of those agencies, I want to speak with the owner of the company. Now, if I want to speak with them and see if they're going to be a good fit, then I might interview them, have them on a show, and I actually have a show focused on Colorado entrepreneurs that features a lot of agency owners, coincidentally. I might have them on the show, and one of the questions I might ask on air is, what's next? How are you trying to grow? How are you trying to expand? Mm-hmm. And if they say, you know, we're growing really fast, our biggest problems are that we just can't hire fast enough, that we can't staff up fast enough, but our clients love us and we're selling more every day, then I know after the recording, in that 5-10 minutes at the end, while we're just chatting after the show on how it went, I can bring up, you know, you mentioned on air that you guys are having difficulty scaling the budgets of your clients and your services to capture as much as possible. Have you looked at white label offerings before? They really don't add to your workload, but they do add to your bottom line. Mm-hmm. And so I've been able to invite them on the show, have a great conversation with them, and warm them up to the idea of liking me and working with me. For then when I make that recommendation, when I start that sales conversation after, I already know whether or not they're a good fit.
Exactly. And, you know, we all know from learnings on this podcast for sure is that we pre-qualify as well. In the invite, we can put our top three qualifiers so that they answer the question as part of the invitation and scheduling of the podcast itself. So if we're working in tiers of accounts and we want to bucketize people, we can do that by the questions, very simple questions we ask up front for them to fill out as part of the scheduling process. What that does is it helps us also hone in on certain areas of conversation that we want to make sure we cover with each of these people. So, Michael, what is a typical rhythm of someone starting up with a podcast? Are we trying to do one or two a week? Is it a daily thing for us, once a month? What do you think would be a good sort of rhythm for people who are thinking, wow, I never thought of this and I want to try it out? What's a typical schedule that you recommend?
So I'd recommend that, and this really comes down to your purpose with the show and what your actual pipeline, how many prospects you actually close are,
right,
and the level of qualification you can reach before you speak with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I generally recommend a weekly show to start.
Okay.
Because it's got that regular rhythm, but it's not something where you have to go all in to get there. That being said, if you're doing a weekly show, you can't be selling a $4,000 or $5,000 package. That's not gonna be able to move the needle for you if you only have 50 good prospects a year come through the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing that if I'm doing a weekly show, I want to be targeting my highest value possible.
Right. Right. So it comes down to
eventually move to daily. Yeah.
The actual, you know, let's take the predictable revenue model of typically 8 to 10 qualified opportunities every month, somewhere in the greater than 5,000 a month range, 10,000 a month range. So somewhere between, you know, those numbers. And that breaks down to typically 3 to 5 meaningful conversations a day, of which some of those could be podcasts. So we can do a podcast, maybe 2 a week. I do typically two interviews every Tuesday is my schedule, my rhythm. And like anything, you get better as you go along. You start learning where people are having problems. You, as Michael said, we're in control of that conversation. So we can lead them down the path of goodness, you know, towards what they need to think about or what would kind of just jolt them into saying, oh my gosh, I never thought of it that way. Or wow, I didn't realize, you know, there are other people out there that are suffering the way I'm suffering, kind of thing. So it allows us the opportunity to really hone our sales conversations to that sense of urgency point, but frame it in a podcast where they're telling us their story. So we're also getting great stories from peers of potential newer prospects of ours. And there's a camaraderie there of sharing experiences and realizing that they're not alone.
Yeah. To build on that, I'd say one of the biggest things I see people, especially salespeople, not make use of when it comes to a podcast,
mm-hmm,
is coordinating and making sure that the guests post on their social media, whatever social's big for your industry. So probably LinkedIn. And that's really important because your first 5 or 10 guests, you might not be able to get that major key account, you know, that global VP.
Mm-hmm.
But once you've had on 1 or 2 people that they know, they want to be on the show just so they don't look like they're being left out.
Yes. Yes. There's social proof involved. You know, when you think about Dr. Cialdini's principles of persuasion, there are a number of buttons that we hit with the podcast. When I first started, the first person I interviewed was Aaron Ross, who was the co-author of Predictable Revenue. And from there, I just realized how much I loved it. So I reached out to people I didn't even know, colleagues that were in the field, and asked them to be on the podcast to talk about what they did and why they chose the field they were in. And it just snowballed from there to the point where after a while, you get people reaching out to you. How cool is that? looking for interviews, or hey, I heard so and so, a colleague of mine on your podcast. Do you take reservations, or can I be a guest?
Yeah, and that is reciprocity. And the fact that your show only has so many episodes a year gives you scarcity. Mm-hmm. You're inviting on authorities.
Yep.
And it gives them just another opportunity to continue to prove their authority. I was hoping I could make it through all six of the principles.
You did really great, Michael. You did really great. No, what I want the audience to think about is, you guys are the masters of the sales conversation. Don't forget that. You are the masters. So why not share a little bit of your genuine, first of all, enthusiasm for your product, your expertise in what your product can do, and your unique genius in how to sell this thing. And what better way to demonstrate that over time, consistently, authentically, by doing a podcast. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant strategy to add to your toolbox.
Thank you. And I can say without a doubt it works, especially for the solopreneur, for the consultant, for the executive coach. That's a show that we've set up at Call for Content many times, and mm-hmm. that we consistently see add six figures to their bottom line within the first 18 months.
I mean, that's just beautiful. I love it. Brilliant. What about I'm sure someone's sitting at a SaaS company right now, startup E, maybe round B financing. So there's enough people. I mean, can I, the lonely SDR, have a podcast? Or is it really meant for people who are in the account executive type role? Or, Michael, does it really matter?
I don't think it really matters. I do think that you get more value when you have somebody higher up within the organization being the host of the show. But a great example of a company that, one, specializes in developing these types of shows, mm-hmm. and two, really does it mostly for middle market tech companies. So hitting that SaaS right on is Sweetfish Media. And they're a podcast agency for B2B. And they're putting out a book around this sort of content-based networking now. But Logan, who heads up their daily podcast show called the B2B Growth Show, he's not the head of the company, nor is he the head of sales. But I guarantee he passes plenty of leads back to the team.
Right. And the other thing too, remember, is that doing these types of podcasts builds your social proof. It also builds your ability to be the expert and be the thought leader in many areas. And it's just goodwill all the way around, because, depending on the length of the podcast, and we'll go into that a little bit in a minute, because I'm very curious about the length of these things. We go from hour and a half in some of them down to 5-minute shorts. But importantly is that what I want to get through you guys is that this is something that is done routinely. So the first step is repetition. Is doing it weekly. Whether or not you publish them or not is another thing. But at least get those conversations and those interviews going, because the repetition will lead to the discipline. That discipline will lead to routine. And then finally, it becomes habit, which is what happened to me. And the other thing is you're having these sales conversations, albeit they're not always ask, ask, ask. They're help, help, help in a lot of cases. But you're also creating a suite of training products for your team as to how to approach different situations. They can listen to different scenarios that prospects are challenged by, suffering with, just sick of, and articulating perhaps a way out. And that is just gold in terms of training material for nuancing the sales conversation for the team.
Yeah.
So Michael, let me ask you about the duration. Are there guidelines, best practice? I hate to use that term, but are there guidelines to how long these things should be, or is it dependent on industry? What are some of the criteria that we need to think about if we're toying with the idea of doing a podcast?
So I think first off, it's important to develop a show that doesn't look like you're just using it for prospecting.
Guaranteed.
That's when I see people mess up quite a bit. And if you've got a 15-minute daily show, and you're asking me, you know, what do I do? And then what are some tips for the audience? And we've got a, say, 30-35-minute recording slot. And then when I come on air, you tell me, yeah, I've got four more of these that I'm recording today. That's a lot of red flags. Because you're not investing a lot of time into the show. You're putting out the show very frequently. And as a result, an individual episode might not get as much promotion.
Right.
And oftentimes those shows are done on the phone and they're going to be lower audio quality. And so if you see all that together, you can know that that show is probably being used to prospect. Because it's got the numbers going through it, and it's designed in such a way that it isn't really going to make great content. And I think that's key to look at. But going the other way, I really like a 30-minute show because that's about the average drive time, you know, 30, 35 minutes. And so having that, I call it a commuter show, works well. If you go up to the hour or to the 45 minute, I don't think you're going to have a problem there. And if you've got, you know, more technical topics to discuss, if you're really digging in, then that could be quite doable. The other thing to look at with that, though, is your editing costs and the actual amount of time that might go into making the show sound good and look good afterwards.
Yeah.
And once you get up to the hour, that can start to get expensive or just time consuming. And so the 30 minute is really what I recommend for no other reason than it works well. And once you start going to the extremes, you run into difficulties.
Let's talk then research for the 30-minute program. Now, a lot of times it's hard, you know, it's basically drilled into our heads that we've got to research any type of account that we're going after, whether it's what I call a jump account, which are those accounts that no matter what they respond to us, we jump as high as they want us to jump because we want them as a client. So we do a lot of research and try to hyper-personalize that conversation. On average, what research goes into a 30-minute podcast?
I think it's very similar to the same research you'd do before a sales call.
Okay.
You want to know who they are. You want to know where they come from. You want to know what they're trying to do if you can. And you want to be ready to talk. I think even more important than research before a show, is looking at the format and the outline of the episode.
Okay.
And I like to think in anywhere from 3 to 5 segments, even though they might not be real segments, even though you might not have a lightning round, right, or you might not have an outro section that you announce to the audience. When I think about like my personal show, it's okay. We start out with their journey. How did they get started as an entrepreneur? And then we move into what their business does today. And so that's sort of segment two. And with that current business, we talk about the industry climate. We talk about some other things going on there. And then we move into segment three, looking forward. And so that's talking about the opportunities for growth, what they see coming in the next 5 years. And we transition at the end to our final segment, which is a book recommendation.
Okay, interesting. Like
and
that.
So you will see that in every single episode. Mm-hmm. And you will see that in, even in the show notes, that sort of becomes apparent.
Right.
But it makes it, it means if I know, if I have their LinkedIn profile and I skim their website, I know what we're talking about. And I know it's going to produce the desired result for me at the end.
I know for me personally, when I've been guests on podcasts, sometimes I get some interview questions that they want to know before I come on. There's also the ability to talk, you know, give them a couple topics that I'm interested in speaking about. And some of them also let me know that there's like a hot seat session, which is kind of fun, especially if you're an industry expert the way I am, you know, to just sit you down and say, okay, here's our top three questions, like blindfolded, that we want you to answer, which sometimes those are fun to do. But point here, though, folks, is if there's a rhythm, if you could put together a what I call a storyboard of the acts of the podcast, that would help you also organize your thoughts and who would be a good candidate to be on as well. Because remember the influence map of decision makers, direct influencers, and indirect influencers, all viable people who we want to talk to at some point in the sales pipeline, depending on where we focus our efforts, whether it's prospecting, closing, servicing. We want to make sure that we've covered that bullseye with guests, because everyone who we touch or are engaged with, we want to make sure that we have as guests on the show so that everybody feels represented. And I make a big effort to bring in marketing people, salespeople, operations people, analysts, digital marketing. I mean, things that are in and around my sphere of influence, because that gives the audience an education beyond what they're used to seeing. Like today's show, I mean, would we have come in really thinking about, wow, I should have a podcast? I mean, it's not something that we think about. We're so just drawn to email and telephone and direct mail and social. We don't really think about the other avenues of conversation that we could be having with prospects to win the right to have that next conversation and further advance them in the pipeline. So I really enjoy the fact that, Michael, you put, you know, you want us to think about that this is a show we're producing. This is like a movie or a radio show, and there is a format to that. And consistency is comforting to the audience as well.
Yeah. I mean, without consistency, if they don't know what's coming next, they stop listening.
Right.
And I know that, having audited shows where somebody will bring me in and, why'd our downloads drop 3 months ago? Well, you dropped that hot seat. You dropped your lightning round.
Right.
And that's thrown all your listeners off. And so that consistency makes it easier for you to be able to go week after week, and it makes it easier for your audience to listen. It also makes it easier for the guest when they come on, because then they can listen to a past episode and be like, oh, okay, I know what I'm getting into, and be comfortable when they start.
So let's recap here for the audience. We just heard from Michael that the response and conversion rates of implementing a podcasting type of channel in and around our sales conversations is going to lift our ability to talk with more people, which is what we are hired to do, is to have more meaningful sales conversations that convert to opportunities, that convert to closed won deals. And we also learned that while it's nice to have the expert in the field have the podcast, we can certainly contribute to that. So for an SDR, and there's an AE who we love the way they talk to clients, we want to strongly suggest that they consider doing some type of show, or we organize that so that we have industry experts on every week talking about whatever, and then we invite prospects in to talk about their situation. We learned about the formats. We learned about the timing element. Somewhere between 30 and 45 to start is a good show. So if I'm thinking, Michael, all right, I want to talk to my manager about this. I want to consider doing this. I'm a solo out there. I'm a head, you know, working in property and casualty insurance, and I want to build my book. So I want to be able to do this. What's a good next step? If I got this sort of tickle in my throat thinking, this is something I want to explore, what should we do next?
So I'll make my shameless plug here. okay. I would go to callforcontent.com and download the B2B podcast playbook.
Oh, playbooks. Yay. We love playbooks.
So do I. As a company, we're getting ready to put out our first podcast, but we've only put out playbooks up until now. Because when somebody asks me, how do you do this thing? I can just say, hey, we posted the entire playbook we use. And that makes things easy for everyone.
Yep.
The playbook covers a couple other different types of shows that are not quite as sales focused. Mm-hmm. But we've got one that we talk about called the Authority Builder Show. And that really is designed for B2B prospecting and sales. And we've got our formula in there. Doing the math is a B2B podcast worth it, where we walk you through, okay, how many customers do I, what's my close rate? What number of prospects am I coming on versus other subject matter experts? How many podcasts am I doing? And my customer value. And so we've got a little equation we walk through to see, is this show worthwhile from a business case standpoint?
Great. Yes, we love formulas too. So we love playbooks, we love formulas, because that specificity around should I or shouldn't I, when you let the data tell you and help you make those decisions rather than just kind of pulling something out of the air, it's much better.
Yeah.
Happy about that.
And for show, we found it's right around that 10,000 mark for average client value.
And I will put, for those of you driving who say, I can't write this down, I will put everything in Michael's show notes, all the links to his website, the link to the playbook, so that you guys can download away and start working on this. I think, you know, we're entering the era of hyper-personalization. Mass emails are horribly just depicted now in the market. And the response rates, more importantly, are just negligible. They're horrible. So we want to be able to differentiate ourselves and set ourselves apart from the crowd. And what better way for us to do so by letting people know our authentic self through conversation. And I think that this is a great way for us also to hone our conversation. We get better and better the more we practice. And what better way to practice than having a podcast where you're asking questions and you're getting feedback and you're responding to that feedback. You're really honing your sales skills at the same time. And I wholeheartedly believe that the more that you're doing these types of conversations, the better you're going to get at it. Do you agree, Michael?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's Hershey does a weekly podcast just for their sales team.
Mm-hmm.
And they chose podcast because those guys are on the road a lot. They've got an outside sales team. And they focus on, hey, here are some updates on information. Here's what's working for our people right now. And it's like a mini sales call almost. Mm-hmm. I know with our sales team and with some of the investments I've made in other organizations, we do mock sales calls all the time, because one of the biggest things, especially with new reps, or if you're in a new market or with a new product or service, is just putting those reps in. You know, it's just getting on calls. And podcast guarantees that you're going to have, at least every time you have that podcast, you can have a conversation.
And if you record it, then you have a role play that is in the library for sales skills development, which is so important. I mean, with my clients, I constantly harp on huddles and role playing. And because the more we practice our conversations, the better we get. It's like an actor. An actor reads from a script, but they never really sound, unless they're horrible actors, they never really sound like they're reading from a script when they finally deliver the performance. And that is essentially what role-playing gives us the opportunity to do, is to finesse that conversation so that it just naturally rolling off our tongue. Podcasts give you that ability. And I love that idea, Michael, of with remote sales forces, which I have a ton of, is to get together and do a podcast and broadcast that out. We can archive it into a library. We can transcribe the audio into snippets of conversation that we can then import into our templates for emails and voicemails and voice conversations and even direct mail. So there is a plethora of repurposing that goes on by recording these conversations as well as building our sales skills. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today. I know we could talk forever, but I do want to be respectful of the crowd here. And I have all the information to put on your web on the page to get a hold of you. Is there anything else you want us to know before we disconnect today?
One last thing. I have office hours. They are like office hours with a professor. I'm just there as a resource. Perfect. And then I record my calls so I can create great content from them later. Mm-hmm. And anywhere on the website, the chat bot should be able to direct you to that office hours. And so if you want to just sit with me and work through how to pitch your show to your manager, I am happy to do that. Or if you just want to sit with me and talk about how bread baking crosses over into sales, we can do that too.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time. Again, guys, this is a channel that it's not really even thinking outside the box, but it kind of is, because we're just so not used to this. But this is the perfect channel for those of you who already or want to master the sales conversations and also start building a prospect database of people who want to further conversations with you because they get to know you via this medium. It's just a natural way. Flattery, all the wonderful triggers that we're trying to get people, curiosity, social proof, it's all there in the podcast format and getting people on our show. Thanks again, Michael, for your time. Very much appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you, Mary Lou. It's been a lot of fun.